Blog Talk Radio.
Well, people, I don't know what's happened. We've got a little problem here. I'm trying to kill this. I can't figure this out. Well, I think we've killed it. Something's gone wrong electronically. Okay, people, we're back. Well, I don't know what happened. Anyway, this is March 3rd. This is March 30th, the end of the month, and we're into April, and I don't know what the heck's going on here. Here are the birthdays today. One of the great Jewish physicians is born in... born in Cordoba, Spain, which later became one of the big mosques. Moses ben Maimonides, and you also hear this name in some of the Jewish hospitals in the United States. Interesting thing, one of the reasons there are Jewish hospitals or Jewish-connected hospitals is because the American Medical Association did their utmost to discourage people of Jewish heritage, and a lot of Jews, or they call them cultural Jews, don't practice, and there are even a few that don't even believe in circumcision. So these are some of the interesting aspects, things that you wanted to know about but never heard about or couldn't find the information about. Anyway, when the Nazis took over Germany, and this is in my family, my stepmother, her father was a doctor in Germany, and she fled after Kristallnacht or before Kristallnacht. We're not quite sure. They banned Jewish doctors from treating Gentile patients. And a lot of Jewish doctors were just cultural. They didn't practice, or they went to the synagogue on the High Holy Days. What happened was the Jewish doctors that emigrated or fled Germany came to America. And this has happened before with the Cubans. The American Medical Association, which was dominated by Anglo-Saxon types, did their utmost to discourage Jews from practicing medicine, or German and Austrian Jews. And some of the best medical institutions in the world, people would go to Berlin, Vienna, to study medicine, and Kaiser Wilhelm Institute. I don't know what it's called in Austria and Vienna. But these guys were some of the finest specialists and teachers and professors in the medical field, and they were barred or discouraged or discriminated against when it came to trying to be accepted by an American hospital and setting up practice here. So they set up their own Jewish hospitals, and that's where we get these hospitals called Beth This, the Maimonides, and I think there's a couple that are distinctly named Jewish hospitals. But that's the origin of that. And there's a great book, Nazi Germany and Medicine, put out by the University of North Carolina. I did a book review on it, and we'll get into that another day. And going to the Far East, the Buddhist saint was born today, Nichiren, Nichiren. And, of course, the greatest of the Russian czars, in my opinion, Peter the Great, was born today. He's the father of the Russian Navy, and he's St. Petersburg is named after him. The first music historian was a guy named Sir John Hawkins. Also, one of the greatest Spanish painters, Francisco José de Goya, or better known as Goya, G-O-Y-A. His famous movie about him, Goya's, I forgot the other part, but it starred, I am getting slow. But anyway, I'll bring it up another day. Today also is the birthday of Paul Verlaine. There was a movie on him and his lover, poet, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, and was a homosexual theme to it. But Paul Verlaine is best known for the Chants of Autumn, Chanteux d'Automne, in which was used as the code word to alert the French resistance that D-Day was about to happen. And the Nazis were onto this, but they didn't know what the words were. And here it is. The long sobs of the violins of autumn wound my heart with a monotonous langour. Of course, I didn't give you the French. But anyway, see the movie The Longest Day when Wolfgang Price, I think he's Jewish actually, he plays these Nazi roles. He was also in The Train as a Nazi engineer, a German military engineer. He was in one of the generals in France who was preparing, and they knew that there was going to be an invasion of France by the Allies. They didn't know the date or where the Allies would strike. Some thought Calais, but one general said, hey, let's do it the unexpected. And War Games, he said, Normandy, and he was right. But Verlaine, it's his birthday today. Another controversial guy, Vincent van Gogh, cut off his ear to his birthday. Great Irish writer, Sean O'Casey. The guy, people hear about Russian planes and the Ilyushins. The guy who invented the Ilyushins, or the airline builder, one of the great Soviet airline builders, Sergei Ilyushin, was born today. And, of course, the Russians were About the time of the Wright brothers, were also doing a lot of aviation experiments and developing planes. They're the ones who developed parachuters, as a matter of fact. Of course, there's an infamous picture of this, a huge Soviet Ilyushin military plane, and these guys who are parachutes are sitting on the wings. Can you imagine that? One of the what they call the Jewish rag merchants who started Hollywood, Irvin Thalberg, it's his birthday. And those of you who remember the distinct voice of Frankie Lane, Lane, well, he was born in Chicago, and his name was Lovechio, Lovechio. One of the controversial so-called thinkers in the JFK administration, and later with LBJ, McGeorge Bundy. He was one of those Harvard intellectuals, and he had a brother who was also William Bundy, and they were part of that Boston crowd who were dictating policy, CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, and all of that. And then those of you who've seen L.A. Law, Michael Dysart was born today. And Bonnie and Clyde, or Blondie and Claude, as somebody called it, Warren Beatty, the younger brother of Shirley MacLaine. And when we had the Bossa Nova, Astrid Gilberto, born today. Those of you who liked rock, Eric Clapton, and he was the one who was stoned, and his son was on the baby son was on the windshield and fell to its death, and he wrote a song about it. Also on this date, Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated, and the assassination was set up by a Hindu extremist who was also homosexual. He was later hanged. James Cagney, great actor. Who can remember? Who can forget that classic scene where he took the grapefruit and smashed it in his Moll's face? And also in the George M. Cohan film, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Great actor. And of course, one of the last films he was in, I didn't like it, was The Longest Hours. It was about Admiral. Who was making decisions in the Pacific, and James Cagney played the role of this admiral. It was a slow film, very slow drama film. A lot of people didn't like it. Also on this day, DeWitt Wallace, he was a physician, a doctor in Georgia. He tried using ether, experimenting with ether as an anesthesia back in 1842. It's too bad they didn't have it at the time of the Civil War. And then also, Queen Mother Elizabeth II's mother, she died. She was of Scottish descent, and she lived to be 101. She used to say it was kind of funny. She had a lot of gays working for her, and they used to carry on like some of the queens do. And one day she said, "Look, this old queen wants a drink. Get me one." So that's how she dealt with that. Let's see, all among the other events today, Henry VIII divorced Catherine of Aragon in 1533, and then was so mad at the Pope in Rome that he started the English Catholic Church called Anglican. And its first archbishop is a guy named Thomas Cranmer. When Henry VIII died and his son died at 16, Edward, it didn't last very long. Mary was the next child, or Mary was the her his step sister. She became queen. She was a staunch conservative, radical Roman Catholic, and she ordered Cranmer to repent or be burned at the stake. He chose to be burned at the stake. In 1814, after Napoleon was defeated at Waterloo, with the help of General Blücher, the Prussians, famous movie Waterloo with Rod Steiger and Christopher Plummer, highly recommended. The Allies marched into Paris, and Blücher wanted to raise Paris, but Wellington said no. This was in 1814. And then, of course, we talked about ether first used as an anesthesia. In 1856, getting back to one of my favorite countries, Imperial Russia, they signed a peace treaty after they were defeated in the Crimea. And then in 1856, Hyman Lippmann in Philadelphia invented the pencil with an eraser. And then this is important. Dan has a connection to San Francisco, to the Richard Bedisco family. His father, or his great-grandfather, was one of the signatories, one of the diplomats that negotiated the deal with between Secretary of State William Seward in the Johnson administration and the Russian foreign minister, and the deal was for $7,200,000 when the Imperial Russian government sold Alaska to the United States and was called Seward's Folly. But little did they know of all the resources up there. They thought it was just Eskimos and polar bears and whales, but no, it was all these minerals and the oil that is yet to be brought out of the ground. Prudhoe Bay is just the beginning. And, of course, the famous family, DeBedisco, Count DeBedisco, was involved. And one of the Bediscos was in the Russian Navy, and he was killed here in San Francisco in 1863. And Bedisco today were in the police department, and one was injured, the surviving grandson, great-grandson, Richard, and was involved in politics and was responsible for some of the reforms in the electoral system. The two terms for the mayor, two terms only for the Board of Supervisors. And so this was to try to deal with the rampant corruption here in San Francisco and in Northern California. And then, of course, this picture is on today's Amicus Veritas, the new shadow site. It's not known by many people that Mahatma Gandhi was in South Africa. He served in the British Army in the Boer War. This was the war between the Dutch and French Calvinists versus the British and Cecil Rhodes and that crowd. And Mahatma Gandhi served in the ambulance. He was a non-combatant. And, you know, this whole attitude of his in nonviolence, there were, in 1919, when he went to India, there was the imperial government and the governor general decided to clamp down on the Indian freedom fighters and nationalists, and they came up with a law called the ROWLETT, which gave the imperial government extra powers to deal with people they thought or were seen as revolutionaries or insurgents of that sort. And it was a horrible law, and Gandhi opposed it, and I think he was put in prison. But see the movie by Richard Attenborough, Gandhi. It's one of the great films of our time. and then, of course, we had here's something for the women. Amelia Earhart, on this date, was the first woman to fly across the Atlantic Ocean. And in 1955, one of the great films which depicted waterfront corruption on the waterfront, Marlon Brando got an award for that. And I think Grace Kelly got Best Actress Award for The Country Girl. She didn't star in too many films. And then Prince Rainier saw her and saw the film, and he was taken up with her and proposed marriage, and she became Princess Grace of Monaco and had three children. She was in the car when one of her daughters was driving, and it was the daughter, it is alleged, that was driving recklessly and killed her mother, or her mother was killed because of the reckless driving. Now here are the new scandals in the real estate racketeering. This has just come over the wires. There have been some mysterious murders involving housing investments in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, San Francisco is the regional headquarters for Region 9 for HUD and several of the other federal departments. And we had a scandal here where one of the guys in HUD at 450 Golden Gate, which is the federal building, was selling Section 8s for $500 a Section 8. He got caught, and instead of prosecuting him, sending him to prison, instead they sent him to Las Vegas to run or be part of the Las Vegas Housing Authority, which is HUD funded, or was. So we'll keep you informed on the updates on that. And then in 1993, at the request of the FBI, reluctantly, I did a flowchart at their request. Also, investigators in Washington, D.C. requested a flowchart on the real estate racketeering going on in Northern California and where its tentacles extended all over the United States. In the Trayvon Martin tragedy, and it is a tragedy, it's so much confusion and so many accusations flying around. Where is the autopsy on this kid? He's been dead a month. Within 2 weeks, we had the autopsy on Whitney Houston. Now, where is Trayvon Martin's autopsy? Also, there is a claim that ABC falsified the video on George Zimmerman. They put a screen over his wounds and used a low video broadcast to depict the lack of injuries on George Zimmerman. Now, they show him going in the police department. However, there is the claim that at the scene, he was treated by the medical people, the city's medical people, emergency ambulance, but he didn't go to the hospital. So where is their records? So we'll see if this guy's lying or what, or who's lying or who's manipulating this. The other tragedy out of this is every time there's one of these things, we most recently had the Matthew Shepard scandal up in Wyoming, where his mother set up this controversial nonprofit, and she's paying herself, or was being paid, according to the records, over $150,000 a year. Nobody knows what she did. It's unfortunate that people use these tragedies to profit from them. There's another scandal that came out of Florida when the Attorney General of Dade County, I think it was, the first woman Attorney General, she was the big, tall woman in the Clinton administration. They had this scandal where this kid... mother set up this nonprofit to get money for his medical care, and she spent the money on all kinds of things and profited from them, and they had to shut down this bogus nonprofit. It's the same thing with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, another one of these, which was started because of a child being killed by a drunk driver. Another scandal was this a kid here in San Francisco who has been missing all these years. It's about 20 years. A nonprofit supposedly was set up for him, to find him or to help other kids who were missing. The father who set up the nonprofit bought himself new clothes, a car, and this is why I use the phrase bogus nonprofits. We've had other scandals like that, missing children. There's some questions about, you know, where is this money really going? Nobody audits these things, or if there's audits, they can't be found, or they're incomplete or indecipherable. So in a word, it's easy pickings, and we would get into that when I put up a video excerpt from my book, Easy Pickings, When Government Grants and Graft and Politicians Embrace. That was the working title. Among the other things that need to be brought up, and the Republicans better get this straightened out before this election, before their convention, I think it's in August, that was Santorum connected to Penn State, and was there a connection to Joe Paterno and then Sandusky? Now, we keep hearing there's something there. He needs to explain this, if there is, or he needs to dispose of this if it's not true. But it'll be a disaster. You know, they've been accusing the Democrats of immorality, and there's a lot of that there, and prostitution and drugs. Well, Republicans are going to look awfully stupid and even worse for trying to cover this up. It's as bad as some of the scandals that have happened in the Roman Catholic Church. And being one, we have warned the priests and the bishops, hey, you got to take care of this before it gets worse. And it's like a cancer. And they didn't listen. They transferred these priests. And there were nuns who were involved in, lesbian nuns who were involved in some of these sex scandals that, you know, you don't hear much of anything about. But it happened. So, you know, you got to deal with these things and deal with them before your political enemies get a chance to deal with it, and you know, you have lost control of the message or the explanation. We're going to end. I'm losing my voice. I still have this bloody cold. with our usual politics and poker. We'll be back Monday at 4 o'clock, and hopefully our other network isn't quite something's some connections are wrong or something, but we'll be broadcasting on alternate days on that network, and there's a different format also, and but some of the archival interviews will be broadcast on that network. So we'll end with politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Fight, fight.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight.
Well, we're going to end. I got a horse, and something electronically went wrong. I'm sorry. So we'll be back Monday. Good night.